Well, good morning and welcome to Victory Baptist Church. We're going to be reading a scripture from Luke chapter 18 this morning. This is a parable that Jesus told about a judge and a widow. Luke 18, we'll begin with verse 1, and let's stand together as we read the scripture. I'll have you join me on the even-numbered verses, so verse 2 and 4 down through verse 8. You join me on those even-numbered verses. I'll begin here on verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Though he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. As we continue talking about prayer, a revival of prayer. Last week, we talked about making much of prayer. Making much of prayer. Prayer is so simple that even a child can learn to do it, but so vital that a mature Christian cannot live without it. And so prayer is important, and we need to make prayer a part of our daily life, talking to God. And, you know, the wonderful thing is that we can pray throughout the day. We can pray silently at times. We can find a quiet place and pray out loud, which is a wonderful thing to do. Important to give that focus. And so we talked about, secondly, last week, blocking out distractions. I love to pray at different times, like driving down the road, whether it's whispering a prayer or praying for some people or whatever the case may be. That's great. But also taking time where we simply focus on prayer and are not doing anything else, or we've put our devices away from us so that they're not interrupting us, and we're just giving that time to seeking God and asking him to work in specific ways in our life, committing burdens to him, committing our fears to him, seeking for wisdom in a decision, seeking for his working in a specific health need or spiritual need, praying for our children in specific ways that we desire God to work. And so we talked about putting away distractions. We talked thoroughly about being specific and practical. Prayer isn't supposed to be some, you know, flowery, fluffy thing that means nothing. It's not at all. Prayer is something that is to be practical. It's something we ask God for specific things. In some of the scripture we read last week, we saw the Lord Jesus giving examples of a friend going over at midnight to another friend's house and saying, hey, I got some people who came by to visit, some friends on their journey, and I'm out of food. I need 3 loaves of bread. He was very specific and persistent as well. Jesus talked about a son asking for bread or asking for a fish or asking for an egg. And Jesus explained that even we as sinful creatures, as sinful fathers, know how to give good gifts to our children. how much more our Heavenly Father knows how to give good things to those who ask Him. Prayer is so important. There are things we miss out on that God would like to do in our life because we don't seek Him for it. Jesus said, "Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and it shall be given unto you." And so we really need a revival of prayer. I know I do. Prayer needs to take a more important role in our daily life. And so we come to the fourth point, which we talked about last week, which is to be persistent and yielded as we wait on God, really expecting God to do something. I mean, don't you think that's reasonable that we pray? Shouldn't we expect God to do something? That's what God says. That's what Jesus says here as he teaches us about prayer. He says, expect something from God. Expect good things, right? And so we need to be persistent. If we believe what we're asking for is right and good, then we need to just stay right there. We need to just keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. Wow, there are so many things that we as parents need to be seeking God for our children, for our marriage. I mean, there are things that we just absolutely know are God's will, right? I mean, it's not God's will for, I don't want to give, you know, we have a pretty good idea. What does God want? Now, there's some areas certainly where we might not know, like what's God's plan for, you know, the occupation or something of a child of mine. But you know what? Does God want my children to know Jesus as their Savior? Does God want my child to be truthful, to grow in a love for God? Well, yeah, absolutely. And so we need to pray for those things and more, to be asking God for specific needs. All right, so we have here in Luke 18, Jesus teaching and giving a story. Here is God giving us a story, an earthly story that will help us understand a spiritual truth. And so we have this judge. Notice as Jesus is talking here, it says in verse 1, he spake a parable unto them, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So God is telling us this, Jesus is telling us this, so that we would persevere in prayer, so that we wouldn't quit, so that we wouldn't give up, but that we would keep praying, keep asking, and those things. So he tells this story, verse 2, about this judge. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Here's a widow. Typically, a widow is pretty helpless, okay? Often, you know, I mean, obviously a widow is someone who's lost their husband. And that doesn't always mean they're extra needy, but especially in Jesus' day, widows were often relatively poor. I mean, they didn't have, you know, accident insurance. They didn't have, life insurance and those things. And so oftentimes when they were in that situation, it was a hard road, okay? And Jesus uses this in his story, all right? And so we have this judge. He's kind of a calloused character, okay? He doesn't care what people think. He doesn't care about people. He doesn't fear God either. And so we see that. And we can see in verse 4 that he would not help this woman. This woman had an adversary. Somebody was doing her wrong. Somebody was maybe trying to steal from her or take some of her property in some way. Or I don't know what the adversity was or what the adversary was doing, but this woman was in need, and it's apparent that the judge could help the woman, okay? I want to draw some contrasts between this judge and our Heavenly Father, because that's what Jesus is doing here. He's drawing a big contrast between this unjust judge who doesn't fear God. He's a calloused, uncaring judge who really doesn't care about doing things legally for people to help them in an honest situation. He's an unjust judge. And our Heavenly Father. There's a complete contrast in this regard. We can see our Heavenly Father is faithful and true. He is just. Notice down here, as Jesus talks, verse 6 and 7, I guess is what I'd like to read. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? So there's the contrast. Our Heavenly Father is faithful. He is just. He is true. This judge was not. He was an uncaring man. Now, also, another thing, I'll just notice along the way, the judge didn't care at all about the widow woman, but yet our Heavenly Father loves us deeply. And Jesus is painting this picture. I want you to also notice another contrast. The judge only helped the woman because she was an annoyance to him. The judge only helped the woman because she was an annoyance. Look at verse 4. And he would not for a while. In other words, he didn't want to help her. He chased her away. He said, get out of here. I don't have time for you. And he would not for a while, verse 4. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. The unjust judge, this callous man who doesn't care for this woman at all, he only cares for himself, really. He's a selfish person. But he actually helped the woman. He avenged her of her adversary. He dealt with the situation so that the woman got the help she needed, the relief she needed. How much more, Jesus is pointing out, will our Heavenly Father help us because he loves us? Our Heavenly Father is not a calloused, uncaring, only going to help you if you annoy him. You know, all right, I guess I'll have to do something. They keep bugging me. That's not our God. And Jesus draws this deep contrast. Your Heavenly Father loves you. He cares about you. When you call, he's not bothered. When you request things, he's not like, again? No. He is willing to help. He cares about you. He wants the best for you. And so when we think about prayer, I mean, God wants to hear us pray. I mean, his heart is joyful to hear his children call to him. Wow. It hurts him when we don't ask for help. Think about that. The unjust judge was annoyed by the woman, but God loves us and is never annoyed by your continual asking. He is ready and willing to help. The unjust judge was just that. He was unjust. He was not good. God is good. Our Heavenly Father is full of goodness. All right, some comparisons. Those were a few contrasts. Let's think about some comparisons. One I wrote down here is, the unjust judge did not respond right away. And Jesus says, your Heavenly Father doesn't always either. Isn't that interesting? Notice, I paraphrased, of course, a little bit, but notice what it says here in verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, that's those who know him as Savior, his own children, those who are saved, shall not God avenge or help bring the relief needed to his own elect, which cry, would you read this next part of the verse, the whole till the end, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. The unjust judge took a while to help the woman. And Jesus points out that sometimes, or oftentimes, at least sometimes, our Heavenly Father doesn't respond right away either. Wasn't that interesting? You know, God tests our faith. He says, are you going to depend on me? Are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust that my way is best? See, sometimes we ask for things and we pray about needs and then we never come back to it and we don't see God answer maybe, because remember what Jesus said at the beginning of this lesson on prayer? Verse 1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. See, God tests us. Are we going to trust him? Are we going to depend on him? So, comparisons. All right. I want you to think about Luke 11. Let's go back over to Luke 11 for a moment. Jesus gave a very different but similar story in this case with the friends, right? In Luke 11, beginning with verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Now, this friend is not the most friendly friend, okay? And see, there's the contrast, but there's also the similarity of the time it takes to see a response to prayer. Verse 6, for a friend of mine, this friend, neighbor friend says, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, don't annoy me, don't bother me, right? Trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. So he puts them off. And Jesus is teaching about prayer. I say, verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, that's continual, consistent asking, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So this point, this similarity, the unjust judge here in Luke 18 didn't help the woman right away. In fact, he only helped the woman once he was getting annoyed. The Lord, on the other hand, tells us that he often doesn't help right away either, but that we should keep coming and keep asking and keep knocking. Wow, how many times do we faint in prayer instead of keeping on seeking God? The amazing thing is, as we depend on God, as we seek him, as we ask him for the needs and the burdens in our life and seek that he would avenge us, And help us, you know what? He does come through. Here's another comparison. The unjust judge in Jesus' parable was able to help the woman, right? And eventually did. How much more? Our Heavenly Father, the Almighty God, is able to help. You see, any prayer we pray, it's not that God can't help. Well, that sickness is too bad. I mean, God cannot help cancer. I mean, it's too hard for him, right? No. It's not an issue. What's his will, though? What's his plan? Right? Are we going to trust him with that need? God's will is something we need to yield to. And so, God is able to help us. He's able to meet any and every need. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says this, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So, there's some comparisons. The unjust judge did help, and God is able to help as well. Much more, in fact. Let's think about the purpose of Jesus' teaching. The purpose of it. The purpose of his teaching is that we would pray and keep on praying. That we wouldn't give up, right? That's what he says. He taught this, verse 1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. God wants us to keep praying, keep asking. Importunity, God says, is a good thing. Persistence is a good thing. Flip your Bible over to James chapter 5. That's just about towards the end of the Bible here, James and chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verse 16. Notice what God says here about prayer. James 5, verse 16. "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." In other words, someone who's walking with God and who gets serious with God is going to see a lot accomplished through prayer. That's what that says. If you're walking with God and you get serious with God, you're going to see a lot accomplished through prayer. "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Notice what it says in verse 17. Elias, which is the Greek name for Elijah. "Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." This is recorded in the book of 1 Kings. And it was a time when King Ahab was reigning in Israel. And King Ahab was a wicked king. And the nation had really departed from God. They weren't serving God. They weren't living for God. And the prophet Elijah was so burdened that he prayed that God would stop sending rain. And you know what? God did. And for 3.5 years, it did not rain. And then that culminated with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, right? Where God proved himself strong, the God who answered by fire. And after that, Elijah prayed that it would rain, and it poured. It poured rain that very day. It says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, he was like one of us. We read about him in the Bible, but he was just a man. He wasn't more human or less human than you are. He was a person with struggles and battles and weaknesses and sin that needed to be dealt with. And he had rough days and better days. And you know what? And he prayed. And God worked through his prayer. and God will work through our prayer as well. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so God is telling us, don't quit. Don't give up. Your Heavenly Father loves you. And He wants to work in our lives. Oh, may God make you and me more mindful of the power of prayer. God hears and answers prayer. Let's be that righteous man or woman that prays earnestly and sees God work. Let's seek God for the needs, for the bread we need. One last little tidbit, which is important, and it is in Luke 18, one verse that I want to share with you. Notice verse 8. I'll have to read verse 7 and verse 8. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, Jesus says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Verse 8, God says, he will avenge them speedily. Now, I looked up the word speedily because we have God saying, God's not always going to answer right away. But then he goes on to say, God will answer speedily. Well, you know the word speedily, the idea of it? It means right on time, not early, not late, but right when needed. And see, our timing isn't always lined up with God's timing. And that's where this time discrepancy comes in, right? I pray, I want it now, I need it now, I feel like I need it now. And God has some things maybe he's teaching me through that trial, through that sickness, through that need, through that burden, right? And God knows what he's doing. But he says he will answer and help us speedily, which literally would mean right on time. Not late, not early, timely. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for this challenge today in prayer through the parable of this unjust judge and this needy widow woman. And though she was weak, and though she could not help herself, as she sought even this calloused, uncaring, unjust judge, the judge eventually did help her and met the need. And how much more you love us. And though we be as weak and as helpless as that dear widow woman, we can get the help we need. Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.